about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Everything cool?
No, it's not cool.
Huh. Great. So we're good to go?
Oh, yeah, we're good to go.
Great.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Kevin and Sam. Kevin and Sam. Check it out, check it out. K-I-O-Q. The most famous Kevin and Sam show. Sorry, B. Got to go.
Coming in 2020.
And now.
Thanks, fellas. The outpouring of support from everybody, especially the fans, has been truly special. So while I'm laid up, holding things down on the radio side will be these two superstars.
Our feature presentation.
I didn't want to announce the Kevin and Sam 2020 show this way, especially with Kevin out.
Yeah.
But it's been decided. That's what's happening, you guys. Kevin and the Armenian comedian are going to be the new hosts in 2020. Here
couldn't
in
be any happier.
Could someone have maybe just like clued us in or something? Like to learn it this way seems mean.
I felt like if we had a meeting, there may have been some dissenting voices.
Right.
I feel like not everyone would have been 100% in.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin and I just didn't have the strength to do all that convincing.
Sure.
So we just decided let's just make the decision.
Okay.
Sometimes it's best if you don't question your parents, if you just understand that they know best because they're the grown-ups. And in this case, we're the grown-ups.
Plot twist, because we are kidding here. I hope everyone knows that. Here's an idea.
Okay,
because Kevin's the one that puts Sam on us. Like, I don't want to hear Sam.
Mm-hmm.
You used to not want to hear Sam, but now that you have one foot out the door, you really don't care.
Yeah, short-term Bean doesn't care about
anything. Short-term Bean doesn't care.
Right.
What if...
Yeah?
He does 1 week, just him and Sam.
What are you? Are you doing this?
I'm doing this just so he never, ever wants Sam on the show again.
Listen, do you want to keep your job? If Kevin gets a week with Sam and he gets things like this?
Why the barber cut the customer's ears?
Why?
Because he was blubbering too much.
He's in forever.
Oh, you think I'm setting myself up to
fail? Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
There'll be so many billboards around the city that says we're the most popular radio show. If only we had Sam, the Armenian comedian.
That's right. Everybody wants piece of my meat.
See?
Piece of my knee?
Meat.
So, Allie, your thinking is, again, going back to the parents' analogy, is when your parents catch you smoking, they sit you down and force you to smoke an entire pack of cigarettes to get you so sick that you never want to look at them again. If you feel like if Kevin has to work with Sam for 5 full days, he will banish him from the airwaves.
Yeah, I want Kevin to smoke Sam.
Right, exactly.
You need to go to Dr. Good College to understand all of you stupid heads.
Okay, one day. If he did one day with Sam.
I think we're on to something here, you guys.
I think it might be.
Right?
One day.
Oh, I'm in. I love that.
All right. Hey, real quick, before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, because it is a good one. Allie, in the years that you were in college in El Boston, did you ever go to, or have the opportunity to go to, I assume you did, any sports championship parades?
No.
Did they not win for 4 full years while you were there?
Yeah, they didn't win for a large chunk.
I mean, and of course, I know about the Red Sox, but, you know, the Celtics have won a bunch of championships. The Bruins have won a bunch of championships. I'm just stunned the whole time you were there, there wasn't.
No, the Celtics, that was... No offense to Rick Fox. It was the Rick Fox era.
I see.
Famous
Rick Fox era.
Yeah. Hot-looking team. Good-looking team. They sucked.
How about you, Jensen? Did you go to all of the Clippers championship parades?
That seems mean. No, I've never been to anything championship-based. In 88, I think I wanted to go to the Dodgers parade, but I was unable to because of school, I think.
Well, there's a parade in the news right now that I love so much. I am unfamiliar with this, with the American Association Baseball league.
Okay.
I don't know if this is part of the minor league deal or if this is something separate, but the St. Paul Saints just won their first championship in 15 years. It looks like they beat the Sioux City Explorers.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, so, tough matchup.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah.
We were worried it was going to be the Chicago Dogs, but they were eliminated in the playoffs as well.
Dogs. It's like they just gave up.
Along with the Gary South Shore Railcats, who didn't even make the playoffs this year. So anyway, so the St. Paul Saints win, and this happened, and I think it's just delightful.
Figured I'd come out and check out the parade.
Getting a parade together isn't easy. Most take months to organize and plan. To manage traffic and to get the word out for people to show up.
Heard it on the news that they were going to be having a parade.
But when the parade only lasts a minute and only goes one block.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yes.
What did
I'm
he
in.
Say?
I'm in.
I mean, is it the greatest, the parade?
It's honestly, it caters to me in my, you know, 1 hour of concert.
Yeah.
1 hour and 20 minute movie. This is perfect.
A parade only lasts a minute and only goes one block.
Which was a little bigger.
And you've got fans like these.
It's just fun.
Apparently, all it takes is a tweet.
Okay, so here's how the St. Paul Saints parade came to be. And by the way, don't think I'm not thinking of my last day at K-Rock.
Don't think
I'm not thinking about a 1 minute, one block parade, which would be phenomenal.
We talked about this idea of posting on Twitter that we were going to have a one block, 1 minute parade. And our GM said, sure. And it was a total joke.
A joke. St. Paul Saints media relations manager Sean Aronson tweeted out Sunday night after the team won its first championship title in 15 years. Some people got it, seeing the humor in a 1 minute, one block parade. Others simply replied,
I don't know. I know what you're thinking. I don't know.
Why?
With the sound effect. Why?
When do I show up?
Either they missed the joke or they thought it was funny enough that they wanted us to do it.
So they did. Not knowing how many would show up with only a few hours' notice. They expected maybe a dozen. But when they turned onto Broadway, there were hundreds.
Amazing is that,
it's great.
By the way. A team I've never heard of in a league I've never heard of, and hundreds of people show up for this parade.
For 1 minute.
Which was scheduled from 11:30 to 11:31.
It's awesome.
I hope all the TV stations in town covered it live, man.
Oh, had to.
So congratulations to the St. Paul Saints, and I think we're all on the same side on this one, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Kevin, you're right. You are right, as always.
Being here, Jim, thank you. We do have a great show today, including a story in the news about a celebrity who says swinging saved his marriage. Do we believe that? We'll find out. Also, Thursdays mean get up on this. Jensen, you got a good one today?
I think so. It's a team of three.
All right. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to Dr. Jupinski with our weekly visit. RJ Bell in Las Vegas has some picks for NFL week number three. The controversy over the potential remake of Princess Bride has made me think about quitting Twitter, Allie.
Oh, were people upset at you?
Yeah. I don't generally wade into back and forths as much as you do.
Uh-huh.
Now I know why. Now I know why. There's a lot more of them than there are of me. So we will discuss that on the program today. Also, another meme that's going around is the greatest HBO characters of all time. Boy, there's a lot to choose from.
So many.
Tough to narrow it down to just three.
Yeah.
I've got the correct list, but I'll be interested to hear what you guys said as well. And Omar, I know this is the only story you care about.
Yep.
New England Patriots, Antonio Brown, when he was a Steeler, apparently aggressively farted in his doctor's face and on purpose.
Wait, what?
Yes, farted in his doctor's face.
I'm all excited, brother.
His doctor is not having any of it. I believe there's a lawsuit involved.
And it was his dentist. That's the weird part. Yeah. So gross.
All of that coming up, plus Allie checks what's happening. Don't start a riot, you guys. Bad advice. Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie is here with our first look at what's happening.
Remember when a young man named Tom DeLonge left Blink 182 and people were like, what are you even doing now? And he's like, I'm talking to aliens and I love UFOs. And people were like, you're crazy, Tom DeLonge.
We did think he was crazy.
And then he said, no, I have videos of UFOs, like their actual videos. There's guys up in like fighter jets and they're seeing this weird, mysterious spacecraft. It's real, you guys.
And he said he got it like directly from the government. I remember him saying.
And still people were like, no. And then he released the videos and people were still like, Tom DeLonge's nuts. Yeah, those three videos seemingly showing UFOs flying above America are officially being treated by the Navy as unexplained aerial phenomena.
It's very exciting.
The videos, first published by former Blink-182 guitarist Tom DeLonge, appear to show mysterious craft speeding through the skies, as captured by Navy FA-18s. And, yeah.
Isn't that creepy?
The Navy is basically like, yeah, those are definitely real.
What's up, bitches?
Exactly what Tom DeLonge probably said yesterday. What up, bitches? Seriously, you guys.
Well, I will let you know what I see tomorrow when I see them aliens.
You are not, again, going to see aliens.
Going to Area 51. Mm-hmm. They can't stop us all. Tomorrow's the day.
You've been practicing that run with the arms out?
I have, yeah. Okay. Out in the desert, yeah. Uh-huh. So we're just going to storm the gates, man, and just see how far we get.
I don't think you're doing any of that, but it's kind of a nice little redemption for him, right?
It is. And by the way, it's technology that doesn't exist on Earth, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So what is it?
Well, it's unidentified. Could be alien.
Could be a terrorist situation. but seriously, though, is this the U.S. government... Are they going a step beyond saying it's unidentified and saying we just have no idea what can even do this? I mean, how seriously should we be taking this admission, I guess is what I'm asking.
Well, in this quote from this gentleman, the Navy spokesperson, Joseph Gratisher, he said, the Navy has not publicly released characterizations or descriptions, nor released any hypothesis or conclusions in regard to the objects contained in the reference videos. But he does give a little more detail, saying the clips are from San Diego on November 14th, 2004, and the other two were both on January 15th. 2015.
Yes, so, science.
I mean, they're just flying all around, you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an invasion.
Yeah. I dig it. You
don't hear the president talking about this invasion.
I dig it.
This one
so
seems
much.
Dangerous.
When I imagined the aliens coming finally, Blink 182 did not play into it. So this is a shock to me.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy.
I am too.
I think it's the right thing.
What's the right thing?
For him to be involved. For Tom DeLonge.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
He seems like the right man for the job.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay. I have said, Allie will back me up many times on this show, that one of my great fears in life is dying before the aliens get here.
Yeah.
Before we get to see them and interact with them. And I'm so happy that we're one step closer to maybe that happening.
Bean, when you imagine them, do you imagine them like movie aliens? Like, what do you see when you're talking to them? Like, what does the alien look like?
No clue whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I mean, movie aliens is the only thing that can come to mind. It's because the only point of reference of anything we've ever, you know, ever thought about as an alien. But I would be shocked by nothing, by... There's no look that would shock me, because who can imagine?
I mean, like a monocle and a fedora would shock me.
Or like a little Raven Simone. All of them look like Raven Simone.
Oh, that
like,
would be the best. That would be so weird. Alien.
Yeah, don't see that coming.
That would be so cool. I want it so much, and I can't wait for tomorrow to be with my peeps and to storm those gates.
Again, you are not leaving your home.
I'm bringing a ladder, and I am going to climb over the fence. I'm not going to try to knock it down. I'm just going to climb over it.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll be... I don't know how cell service is going to be, but I'll definitely be checking in from Area 51.
Okay.
Okay, so far he's running.
Yes.
And running with a ladder.
With a ladder, that's
nope.
Right, yes.
You don't even carry a ladder in from the garage. You
they
and your wife do it.
Can't stop us all.
Right.
Do you hear me?
I feel like they could stop you. I feel like you would be one of the ones they could stop.
Like I would be the only arrest?
Right.
Like
everyone else is stormed, and then they're just like, then this dude with a ladder
Gene
just
popped in. Baxter was arrested.
That would kind of be awesome.
That'd be so sad if I was the only one who got caught.
Remember how we talked about the Peacock, NBC Universal streaming service?
Yeah.
Found out that Saved by the Bell was going to do a reboot. They had Mario Lopez, Elizabeth Berkley. The show kind of... is all about the governor of the state, which would be Mark Paul Gosselaar, and how he's doing things with the schools and whatnot. This is all news to Mark Paul Gosselaar, because he said, quote, I've not been approached. He hasn't been approached for this show.
He's the governor of California in the show.
How do you go to Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley first?
Right.
How is that? Those two would be the last two I go to.
No, Screech would be last.
I'd also go last on Jessie, the girl who, or what was
that's
her name?
Elizabeth Berkley.
What was the girl's name who wore the leather jacket?
That's Tori.
Tori, that's right.
Oh, I thought it was Leather Tuscadero and her sister Pinky.
Two different
she worked
show.
On cars.
Different show. Different okay. show. Yeah. This was Tori. Tori would be the last I'd ask. Then Screech okay. second. Then Elizabeth Berkley. Then Slater.
Okay.
Then Turtle.
That's entourage. You would definitely, though, ask Mark Paul Gosselaar, Zach Morris.
First.
Of course, MPG. But you don't even do the show without him.
This plays good with MPG, though. Because now he can ask a ton of money.
And he has said all along, oh, no, I'd be totally into something happening.
No, this is a dream for him.
Yeah. So he was doing an event for the show Mixed Dish, which he's starring in. And that's when he was like, yeah, no, nothing. Haven't even been approached. He did say, I've always said that I would love to do some form of it, but they've approached two, meaning Mario and Elizabeth, and not some. Hmm. That's, hey, Peacock, get it together. If I had a dollar every time I'd yelled that.
Sell that.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
We'll talk more about that coming up, but first, some birthdays. Oh, I'm so sad Kevin's not here. It's James Lipton's birthday. He hates him as much as friends. Almost as much as friends. And happy birthday to Jeremy Irons and Jimmy Fallon.
This day in history with Old Man Reuben.
It was today in 1960 that Chubby Checker hit number one with the twist and created a dance craze that's lived on for generations. I was hanging out with Chubb during those recording sessions, and man, did he go through a lot of dances before he landed on the twist. He tinkered with the juggle, the uncontrollable seizure, the my parents just got divorced shiver, the drunk uncle gets handsy at Easter, the see a girl you went to high school with at the bank and pretend you need to set your watch, the circumcision. But, to be honest, none of those were as catchy as the twist. Oh, it's also Jim Abbott's birthday. He had one arm, so his twist probably looked weird.
See, because Reuben is old!
Deep baseball cut there for Reuben, huh?
Yeah, local boy, Jim Abbott.
I would like to see the circumcision. I would like to see that dance. That sounds good.
I don't at all.
Thursday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show mean get up on this. Jensen Krepp introduces us to something we ought to know about. Yeah. Also, RJ Bell helps us make some money in Las Vegas. Dr. Drew Pinsky on the program later on today. And this story, which brings swinging into the news for the first time in a long time, I think.
Well, you know, they changed the name. It's now part of the lifestyle. Don't say swinging anymore.
You don't say swinging. Okay.
No. So a friend of the show. He's a pal, right? We had him on recently.
Yes.
Thomas Middleditch.
I'm a big fan.
Everyone knows him from Silicon Valley or those annoying phone commercials. Mm-hmm. He did an interview with Playboy that sort of explained that him and his wife, who got married back in 2015, her name is Molly.
They've been married all the way since 2015. No wonder they need to mix it up.
Well, that's the problem. It seems that he says that entering the lifestyle of swinging has, quote unquote, saved our marriage. So he says, only after I got married was I like, Molly, I'm sorry, but we have to get non-traditional here. To her credit, instead of saying, F you, I'm out, she was like, let's figure this out. To be honest, swinging has saved our marriage.
So he says, unless you let me have sex with other people, this isn't going to work for me?
I mean, that's what it would seem like 4 years in. I don't know if he said that word for word, but he also said, like, I always thought I was a romantic and that when I fell in love, that stuff, meaning sort of being a hornball, would fade away. It does for some years, enough to be like, I should get married and I'll be different. But he says, like, he pushes the gas, she's more of the brakes, and he needed that changed up.
Okay.
And so I guess my question about this whole thing is, if you need to have sex with outside people 4 years in, don't you just not get married anymore? I mean, that's not marriage, really.
I disagree.
Explain.
I disagree. I am not at all interested in the lifestyle. It is not something that would work for me.
That would have been a great reveal, by the way.
I don't.
Huge.
And I don't think it's something that would work for my wife. But I will say that if they're both into it, why not be married and still have that be the most special person in your life and the person you want to spend the majority of your time with, and you both also enjoy having other sex with other people? My only concern about this article is the way it is written. it sounds like she's being dragged along. Like
slightly.
She's not on board.
Yes.
I feel like
in that case, I don't like it.
If you've been together a whopping couple years and he goes, oh, we have to get non-traditional here, and that was never a discussion
in the
before,
contract, right?
That seems a tad concerning for Molly.
Unless Molly's into it.
Look,
all right, can we all agree that if both parties are equally into it, we're not shaming here.
No, do your thing. Do whatever you want.
No problem with it, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem fair to have one person be really into it, the other person just doing it to quote unquote save the marriage,
or to spring it after you guys got married. I think that is such a large thing to kind of think you might want to do that you would bring that up before you get into your vows.
Yeah, this isn't like let's try a new position. This is a lot more of the couple.
This isn't
that.
Let's move to Valencia. You know what I mean?
The thing about this article that kind of made me go, Thomas, what are you doing? Is he would say, I don't know how much I can say. My wife's, you know, going to be mad at me. Like, you went into an article in Playboy and you're talking about a lifestyle that you and your wife are into, and you're not sure if she wants the public to know that. You guys are into this? That's a bad move, dude.
I agree. That's a bad look.
Another quote, we have different speeds and we argue over it constantly, but it's better than feeling unheard and alone and that you have to scurry in the shadows, which I guess is true. But I mean, if you argue over it constantly, this doesn't seem like a meet in the middle thing, right?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, look, it's always impossible to put yourself inside someone's marriage, but it definitely sounds like he's... dragging her through this is what it sounds like to me. And I don't love that.
I don't like when a guy or girl says, I'm sexual. It's just who I am. It's like, calm your teeth. No, you're not.
Also, Thomas Middleditch is a pal. And I think he's one of the funny. I do really genuinely think he's one of the funniest people on the planet.
Do you think of him as sexual?
No.
No, he's the poster boy for not sexual.
But good for him, I guess.
Yeah,
quite
absolutely.
Quite an appetite. I mean, he came in here and talked about how he built a mock airplane setup to play video games in his house.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't sound like a guy who's going to end up being in the lifestyle, I'll tell
that
you
doesn't
that.
Strike me as a guy
like,
who goes to
he's lucky to get one woman.
Yeah, I would be thankful.
I would think.
Anything mutually you're consensual and you're into, excellent.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we talk about, did you spring it on her? At some point, if you haven't had that conversation in the past, like when you're dating, like, hey, would you be into this or would you be into that? It's going to be springing it on someone regardless.
Yeah.
It just... I doubt people, like, all of a sudden one day they just say, hey, can we talk? And then at the same time, they're both like, let's enter the lifestyle. You know, it has to be broached in a way that will appear like you're springing it on
someone.
But,
Bean, you don't think that if 4 years in, you're like, I gotta have sex with other people or this won't work. You don't think that that's a reflection on the other person at all?
It might be. I mean, I guess what you hope is better communication earlier in the relationship, including before you get married.
Sure.
That's what you hope for.
Yeah,
I think he was expressing dissatisfaction with his wife, and I bet that was a very hard, and it wasn't one conversation, I bet that was a very hard number of conversations that they had to get to the point where they reached some sort of a compromise. Mm-hmm. And by the way, exhibit three as to why I'm starting to feel bad for Molly here is Middleditch in the Playboy interview. If you're just joining us, Thomas Middleditch from Silicon Valley, where we're talking about him being a swinger in the lifestyle, added that their relationship has also inspired him to share their story on the big screen.
Yeah.
This is actually the premise for a comedy series we're writing together.
Yeah, they're writing it together.
However, his wife isn't exactly on board.
Writing the comedy series?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, Thomas, what's happening here?
I'm going to put her in the lifestyle and I'm going to force her to write about it.
Oh, no.
And she's going to star in it.
That's my kink now.
So what's the expiration date on the Middleditch couple as a married people, do you think?
I mean,
are we looking at the end of it already?
If you haven't already purchased the wedding gift, maybe... Maybe hold off?
Hold off until... keep your Google alerts. You are moments away from winning your tickets for tonight. Black Keys at the World Turn. You didn't even know you had plans tonight. And in like 5 minutes, you're going to realize you have the hottest ticket in town. Black Keys at the World Turn. You've got them for you every hour here this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show all the way up till 10 a.m. Allie.
Bean.
What's happening on this Thursday morning?
Well, it was quite the reunion yesterday on the talk show, The Kelly Clarkson Show. She had all the original American Idol judges. Simon Cowell, Paula Abdul, Randy Jackson. They all flew in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They all flew in, and then they had Ryan Seacrest via satellite, and I just think that's funny. Like, he couldn't be bothered. He's very busy. But Simon Cowell was like, dude, I flew in from London. Like, you couldn't get on a plane? What is wrong with you?
Does she... God, I'm so embarrassed that I've not seen... I've not watched Kelly's show yet.
And oh, how embarrassing.
You're embarrassed by that?
No, embarrassing. I am. Because it's something we talked about that we were all looking forward to, and I haven't made the time to set it up to record. But does she tape in L.A.?
Yes.
Well, that is hilarious, then.
Yeah. Adorable. But this is interesting. Simon Cowell expressed his desire to make a show with Paula Abdul and Jackson again in the future. He said, if I had one wish, it would be to make another show with all of us again.
How about that?
That's really nice, right? He also gave some props to Kelly. He said, the fact that you're one of the most successful singers in the world, I have to say something about you, Kelly. Unlike the majority, you are the same person off camera as you are on camera. You've always respected people, and you've been a very loyal and great friend.
That's high praise.
Which is really, that's lovely. It's from Simon Cowell.
And by the way, for folks who aren't making the connection, Kelly Clarkson was the winner of season one of American Idol.
Yes.
And arguably is the biggest star to ever come out of that show.
Carrie Underwood.
Well, like I said, arguably.
Jennifer Hudson.
Those three are the big ones.
Yep. But Jennifer Hudson didn't even win.
Right. But Kelly is the biggest in terms of her success as a singer.
She did beat Justin Guarini, who is now,
very famous.
The Dr. Pepper guy.
Right.
That's huge. He probably gets all the free Dr. Pepper. Who really wins?
Right.
Justin Guarini.
J-Hud is a... I know her very well, J-Hud. She's an Oscar winner, no?
Correct.
That's big.
She is. Oh, yeah. That's huge. Mm-hmm. In terms of as a singer, though, Kelly Clarkson is the biggest.
No. Carrie Underwood, 100%.
No. In terms of records sold...
So we all have a
don't
different...
Don't at me.
We all have a different pick.
Don't at me on this, Allie. It's science.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys forgetting about Ruben Studdard?
Right.
He was
great too. Yeah. The teddy bear? Yeah, he was great.
I mean, don't sleep on Bo Bice.
Bo Bice, right.
Well, Daughtry is a platinum artist as well. I mean, look, there have been a lot of successful singers out of that
show. Who was the gray-haired guy that was like 20 and he looked 60?
Soul
Taylor
Patch.
Hickford.
Taylor Hickford.
Taylor Hicks.
He had the Soul Patrol.
That's right.
Yeah, because of his soul patch.
Yeah.
No.
What was the kid who looked 11? Daniel Abueta or something like that.
Oh no,
David Archuleta.
He was a Utah. I had to interview that kid.
Are we all getting nostalgic about the old American Idol?
Don't even get me started on Sanjaya.
I was going to say, who's the Indian guy? Oh, Sanjaya. He was so cute.
And don't get me started on William Hung.
So many legends.
We're so nostalgic.
And we haven't even scratched the surface of Clay Aiken.
Well, you know that I'm a Clay Aiken fan. You
a
know
Claymate?
That. I'm a Claymate. I'm totally a Claymate. To this day, I'm a Claymate.
Right. Are we forgetting Fantasia?
Oh, yeah. Fantasia Barrino.
Come on.
She's a good person.
She's a big Broadway star. Yeah. Are we forgetting the night that Ryan Seacrest... Oh, high five! Yeah. A blind guy.
He sure did.
Are good we night. Forgetting that?
Sure
also,
did, yeah.
There was another kid who was like, I'm Blake Lewis. Do you remember that guy?
Yes.
From Tacoma, Washington.
What a show.
How about what was the guy with the pants? What was that dude?
Oh, the guy with the pants.
The guy with the pants. We called him Pantsy.
No.
The guy, the kid.
What do you mean with the pants? was there a season I missed where everyone was naked?
A lot of people don't know. No one's ever worn pants on American Idol.
No.
Wait, do you mean the pants on the ground guy?
Yes, pants on the ground.
His name was Larry Platt.
Yeah,
pants on the ground guy. They brought him back for the finale. That's how big he was.
Okay.
Pants on the ground.
Pants on the ground. Yes.
Okay. What a
Guys,
show.
Right. I
what
think that was a good show.
I think looking back, it's much better than it was when it was on.
Why do I not care that it's currently on?
It is currently on.
And
yeah, no.
American Idol's back.
Yes. I forgot.
It came back on ABC like 3 years ago.
Yeah, who would watch now?
I don't even know who the judges are of the current.
It's got to be Katy Perry.
It's Katy Perry, Lionel Richie.
Yeah, and then maybe a country guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you say so.
Sure.
All right, so the whole point of that was the three original judges who were on the Kelly Clarkson show. And it sounds like that was fun.
They were getting nostalgic, too, if they're all talking about wanting to work together again.
Yeah.
I love it.
We didn't even talk about Adam Lambert.
Oh, Adam Lambert.
The lead singer of Queen.
I mean.
That's a big one.
By the way, Paula Abdul was a judge for 9 seasons. Mm-hmm. Simon Cowell, 10 seasons. Randy Jackson, 13 seasons.
Wow.
That show's been on forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nuts. All right. Well, I'm glad we took that little stroll. It was nice, fun stroll.
That was fun.
Sometimes it's good to look back.
All right. Think about all the friends we made along the way.
Just photos. Look through photos.
Do any of you listen to any sounds to help you relax? Do you have one of those sleep machines?
I do. Yeah.
You do? Mm-hmm. Do you have a preferred sound?
White noise. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Bean, what about you?
No. I listen to music every night when I go to sleep.
Really? Well, any specific music?
No.
Like, I can't imagine you'd listen to something like totally rockin'.
Gore.
Whatever I'm in the mood for. It doesn't make any difference to me how hard rockin' it is.
So you fall asleep and the music keeps playing?
Yeah. Well, I set up my phone for, you know, like 30 minutes or whatever it is, and I'm usually out by the time the playlist ends. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Well, apparently there is a specific sound that calms people more than most. This is very interesting because people talked about this sound and they felt 30% more relaxed. They said their stress and anxiety levels dropped by 25 to 20%. This is more than people that listen to like a guided meditation or people that just have silence. And that sound, woodland sound. That's the sound. Not it, Omar. Omar's in here, and that makes perfect sense. Why didn't I see that coming? Why?
I don't know. It's so long.
How did Antonio Brown even get in here?
Wow. Oh, how did I not see that coming? All right, the real sound. Right? Some birds rustling leaves, just calming you right down. Kind of nice. I listen to either the rain sounds or streams. So I like the sound of just water.
But doesn't that make you want to pee?
I mean, I pee my bed every night.
Okay, all right. But it's worth it.
But I fall asleep earlier. Yeah.
Okay. That's my that's the real life sound of my house in Seattle.
That's true.
It sounds like all the time.
I'm so cool. I live amongst woodland creatures.
Must be nice. I hear the homeless man outside peeing into a jug.
Why is it a jug?
Where did he get a jug?
I don't know. You got it somewhere.
And screaming about how we the great Jordan Sparks.
Oh, Jordan Sparks.
She was one of my favorites.
Jordan Sparks was great.
Yeah, she's still great.
Yeah. Is she?
Is she?
Yeah.
For what? What does she do?
I don't know.
You have no idea what she's been up to.
No, but I'm saying I doubt she lost the ability to be a terrific singer.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a big Kelly Pickler head. Is that a...
Oh, yeah.
Is that a name?
She's personality plus.
What
about
Kat McPhee?
Oh,
remember?
She's
getting married. She's getting married to an old man.
David Foster,
David Foster. Bean loves her.
McPhee. We all love her.
She was on Smash.
Yeah, she's adorable. We've had her on the show a couple times. She's great.
Well...
Our old friend Ralph Garman is the one who started the McFever.
Yeah.
Which she was always very grateful for.
I think we've hit all of them.
Have we?
Did we miss someone?
I don't know.
Oh, I mean, there have been a lot of people that we didn't care about, like Scotty McCreery. Remember him? The little doofus-looking guy with the country voice?
Doofus, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there have been a lot of other contestants that we didn't mention, but I think we hit most of the high points.
We did it.
Did it, you guys. All right.
Philip Phillips, by the way.
Yeah.
Him with that home song that you couldn't get away from for 2 years.
Too late for me. It was too late in the game.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Some birthdays for you. Jeremy Irons, James Lipton, and Jimmy Fallon. All J names. Huh?
Mm.
That's exciting.
Congratulations to Juan Carlos Montielli, who is from Garden Grove. Won 2 tickets to go see the Black Keys at the Wiltern tonight. You are running out of time to win your tickets, but we've got them for you at 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. as well. RJ Bell talks NFL Week 3 coming up. Also, Dr. Drupinski on the program today. And the craziest Antonio Brown from the New England Patriots story you're ever going to hear. And if you don't care about sports, this doesn't have anything to do with sports.
Not at all.
You're going to love it, but not as much as Omar is. First, though, Thursday morning just after 7 means it's time for Jensen. Get up on this.
It's time to get up on this.
Oh, that's not
No, that, I mean, I would have been fine with it. I would have. All right, I would have been fine.
Do you want to? Should we sing it?
Yes. Get up, get on up. Get up, get on up.
I would have been fine with
on this.
Yeah, no? Okay, let's switch it up.
My bad.
No worries.
It's time to get up on this. Things you cannot resist. Things you do not want to miss.
We rethink
it. It's time to get up on this.
It's not his best work.
Definitely not. I was, like, super bummed out.
Not his best work. Since I started doing the Get Up On This feature here at Kevin and Bean, the one thing that I get the most tweets about, and I think Allie and Bean, you guys are going to be shocked at this.
Okay.
What books would you recommend?
Oh, God.
People ask you that?
Allie looks disgusted.
Well, reading is for losers. That's the policy of this show.
I'm telling you, lot of people have tweeted at me and said, would you recommend any books?
Is it because you wrote a book? They think that you read a lot?
I have no idea.
Do you read a lot?
I read a decent amount.
Okay. You've written more books than you've read.
That's not true.
Bean reads like 18 books a day.
That's what
it's
I'm
insane.
Saying. I can't compete with Bean, but I do read a little bit, and I obviously want to read more. But
we all would if we had more time. Or if Allie didn't have ADD.
Right. But I'm very choosy. She's just in the corner now doing something else. I'm very choosy about what I read. I'm very particular about giving out recommendations, so I try not to. It's a real opinionated ask. But with the recent success of It 2 in movie theaters, I figured I would give you three get-up-ons quickly about novels that I think will be future blockbuster films.
Oh, this is a very interesting topic.
See, these are thrillers, or to an extent sort of horror books, that are right in line with It, one even by the same author, that I think most people don't even know exist and are fast enjoyable reads for someone looking for new material to make you scared or keep you at the edge of your seat. First up is a book called The Chain. Okay. This is written by Adrian McKinty. It is a fast, light thriller that I am in love with. The author has a history of crime novels that are highly praised, but nothing that ever caught the attention of pop culture. So much so that he had hit hard times as an author and started Ubering and bartending to support his family, and that's when he wrote this book. And then he sold the rights to it to Paramount for seven figures. Okay. Oh. The book is as if Taken and The Truman Show had a baby.
Oh.
Okay. One night, a single mother and cancer survivor, Rachel O'Neill, gets a mysterious phone call from a woman who says she has kidnapped her daughter, and to get her kid back alive, she must not only pay a ransom, but also do the unthinkable and kidnap another person's child.
That just seems mean.
It's not nice.
Okay.
If she doesn't, they're going to kill her child, and this sort of overpowering group will be following and tracking her and eavesdropping her every move. So the chain of these crimes has been happening for years and years. She's able to enlist the help of her brother-in-law, but every single turn and decision in the book will leave you wanting more. It's terrifying, especially as a single new father, right? Mm-hmm. Able to be, reading this. It's like, I know one of the reviews says it's like Jaws for parents.
Ooh.
Very scary book. That's number one.
Okay.
The Chain by Adrian McKinty.
That sounds good.
Two. Stephen King has a brand new book out.
Mm-hmm.
No one knows those things. A lot of people, including myself, are super into Stephen King. But over the last 20 years, I don't think I've been really drawn into any of his novels or books. Bean, you feel the same way?
I'm not a Stephen King reader.
Not a King.
Just in general. And by the way, I wish they would start making some of his books into movies. I mean, I think about some of his classic books like Stand By Me, and Shawshank Redemption and stuff like that. Like it seems like they'd be made to be films.
Well, I have news for
you.
But
for some reason, Hollywood just isn't into Stephen King.
I don't think you see enough movies.
Okay.
It's been heavily compared, this book, to Stranger Things, and it seems to be like a commentary on the world, critics calling it his best work of the last two decades. The book follows a clandestine organization located deep in Maine Woods. In Maine's woods, that was created to study, enhance, and exploit children who are around the United States and have paranormal talent. So these kids mostly have superpowers, sometimes minimal, and are being held prisoner, even killing their parents in some cases to abduct them. Now, these kids are being forced to live in absolutely horrific conditions, where would he get that kind of metaphor, just to serve the powerful men holding them captive. The book takes place mostly in this institution, with the kids working out what they can do and what they can't do with their powers and trying to escape. We follow one 12-year-old, Luke Ellis, who enters the institution and tries to change things for good. Stephen King has said this isn't influenced by Donald Trump and the recent ICE situation. That would seem like a lie. That's my second pick, The Institute by Stephen King. All right.
Okay, that's a bestseller right now.
Very much so. It's a big, but a lot of people don't know he has a new book. Lastly, the third book is called The Blinds, and it has a similar overall thread as The Institute. This is written by Adam Sternberg and is set in Western Texas. This is amazing. So imagine this is a movie, right? and how early we are on this. 50 criminals have been relocated to a cinder block bungalow city surrounded by a 14-foot fence. The inmates have books, alcohol, and meals, but have no connection to the outside world and are looked at by like one sheriff and a couple cops or whatever, right? One major aspect to the experiment for their rehabilitation is that their memories have been completely erased. Mm. So they have no idea of the crimes that got them there or what happened before they entered the blinds. Now, even weirder, they're free to leave at any time, okay? It's a new take on like the witness protection program more than anything else. They know they've done something wrong or that they've witnessed something bad. So they're afraid to leave the town in fear of the law, their enemies, or what's waiting for them outside the fence.
Because they have no idea.
They could be killed. They have no idea. So life sucks, but at least they're safe there. So throughout the novel, we meet the inmates. We follow along with their strange surroundings unfolding around them. We even meet the scientist who dreamed up the weird experiment. And things get very intense very quick. Small aspect of the book that I love. Since the inmates have no memory, they don't know their name. So they have to pick from a list of movie stars or former vice presidents.
No, sir.
There's just people with very
former vice presidents,
Vice presidents, or movie stars.
And come on in, Dan Quayle.
No, it's basically like Marilyn Quayle. It's like they use one and the other. It's like a vice president and a celebrity name.
Oh, that's weird.
It's great.
I love it.
The book, much like the other two I've talked about, brings up tons of ethical issues that will have you asking, "Could I do this in real life? Mm-hmm. Could I kidnap another child to save my child?" The answer to that one is yeah. I would do that for sure.
Really?
Oh, yes, 100%.
Seems mean.
Back in 2017, Sony purchased the rights to The Blind, so let's hope we see that as well in another format as a movie. Okay, three get-up-ons this week. Mm-hmm. The Chain by Adrian McKinty, The Institute, a brand new book by Stephen King, and The Blinds by Adam Sternberg. And if books weren't for suckers, these are the three that I would get you up on. That's Get Up On This.
Get up, get on up on this.
Get up, get on up
on this.
Get up,
get on up.
Band is called Neon Trees. Remember them?
Mm-hmm.
I love them. I love their sound. I kind of miss them.
Wish we played them more, even.
I do, too. Yeah, a lot of fun. We had them at a couple of... we had them on the Kevin and Bean Show performing live. Had them at a couple of our shows. They were a really, really good band. All right, 7:22 Thursday morning. HBO asked fans for their top three characters of all time. The top three characters in the history of HBO programming. Twitter went nuts.
Yeah.
I've got the correct answer of what the top three should be, but we'll have a conversation about it coming up in a few minutes. We will.
Okay.
First, though, although it happened back in 2018, there is a controversy that is back in the headlines right now that involves Antonio Brown going to a doctor named Dr. Victor Prisk. He did an interview with Sports Illustrated recently where he said that Antonio Brown, who, of course, was a Pittsburgh Steeler and is now a New England Patriot, was essentially the client from hell. That he would show up late and he didn't pay. There's a lawsuit involved right now in back fees that are owed by Antonio Brown, according to the doctor. But that's not why people are interested in this story.
A Pittsburgh doctor is the latest filing a lawsuit against former Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown. Monroeville's Dr. Victor Prisk says in the lawsuit, Brown owes him $11,500 in unpaid fees. In addition to that, the New York Post says the doctor claims Brown repeatedly passed gas in his face.
I mean, when you go to the doctor... It's possible, I guess, that sometimes things can happen, right?
Yeah.
But not repeatedly in the doctor's face.
I want to smell it.
No, you don't. You don't. That does sound aggressive to me, okay?
Yeah, I mean, sure. I want to defend a little, but let's listen more to the story.
Okay. He wanted passed gas in his face and laughed about it. TMZ obtained a video of an appointment of August of last year where Brown can be heard breaking wind and laughing as Prisk tests his body fat.
By the way, she's starting to crack up, which I love about this.
Can I ask why they're videotaping doctor's appointments?
I was wondering the same thing.
That's a HIPAA violation right there, and this dude's screwed.
I'm going to play some audio from that doctor's appointment in a minute because it was out there. And the impression I get from the video, based on nothing else, is that it's one of Antonio Brown's guys that's in the room with him because he wants to show off. How low his body fat is. Because that's what he's being tested for. So it wasn't, you know, an invasive or personal kind of procedure that was going on. Mm-hmm. I love that this anchor has said past gas and broken wind so far. Will she use the F word? Do Do you think she's up for using the F word on the TV?
I think you have a better chance at flatulent than you do fart.
Okay.
Prisk told Sports Illustrated, quote, "It seemed just childish to me. I'm a doctor, and this man is farting in my face."
Wow.
Direct quote.
For KDKA News.
"I'm a doctor, and this man is farting in my face."
What the heck?
Now, why? Look, I get if he owes you $11,500, sue him, right? Mm-hmm. I totally legitimate. Why would you ever bring up the farting in the face thing?
To embarrass him, clearly, and I want to defend it. I think,
really?
Yes, I want to say that I think some people get nervous and fart, and that's the thing. And two people can laugh. Like, I think that the doctor was like, "Oh," and he was like, "Yeah, man, I'm sorry, I farted." I think it just was a small thing that happened once or twice, and Antonio Brown farted a lot.
Okay.
And I don't think it's that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a deal. And I just need to know why he's recording doctor's appointments.
Well, I
need
to know that.
He's showing off how
low his body fat was.
Who gets nervous and farts? Is that something you've ever heard before, Allie? I haven't.
I get like nervous poops. Like when I get super nervous during playoffs, I always feel like I have to poop. We've talked about this. That's real.
Sure.
That's science.
Yeah. That's why you have to watch all Kings playoff games at home.
Yes.
You can't go out and watch
them. And I'm never going to go to a Kings playoff game and be there because my God.
Yeah, you'd be running back and forth to Congress. Yeah. All right. Here's because you demanded it, Kevin, to be a listener. here's some of the video from the actual doctor's appointment. Now, the guy who's shooting this seems to be several feet away, so the audio isn't great. He does say, Antonio Brown does say after a couple of the farts that I shouldn't have eaten something. Okay, he's talking about the food he had before the appointment. It sounds like he may be saying a different S word, but we've gone through the tape. He does not swear. All right, here we go. That's how the tape starts, by the way. That's the first thing on the tape on TMZ Sports.
Damn, my bad.
All right. Shouldn't eaten something this morning. All right.
I didn't even get that when you're still in there.
So he's saying I didn't even get that when he's using a device on Antonio Brown's chest to try to measure the body fat. He couldn't even find any.
But also no reaction to the fart.
That's correct.
Yeah.
It's pretty freaking low.
Pretty freaking low.
Those are bodybuilders. This is pretty low.
Okay. What about that one? Is that just a nervous fart, or is that something that was big enough that he should have known it was coming on and held off?
He pushed that out.
I think so,
no
too.
Question.
You think
no
he grunted
question.
It?
I think this one's in. Let me play it again.
Bodybuilders. This is pretty freaking low.
That's on purpose.
Are we sure these are real farts?
Because the doctor's not even reacting.
They are real farts. Why are you asking? You think he brought a whoopee cushion to his appointment?
I think a sound machine, whoever's recording this, could have been using a sound machine. Sure.
Oh, no. No, no, no. It's real. And you'll see Antonio responds to this one as well.
Bodybuilders. This is pretty freaking low. I got to stay wet. Damn. I should eat. Had a lot of fiber, bro.
Had a lot of fiber.
Fiber, yeah.
3%. I can believe that.
All right. 3% body fat, by the way. I'm 30% body fat.
Yeah,
maybe 40. Have you seen me?
Do you know how strong his ab muscles must be from all those farts? He's holding them in most of the day.
That he had to have done that on purpose.
I smell like beef, of course.
That second one sounded like he could have tried to hold that. It sounded like he literally pushed that one out as hard as he could.
Plot twist, by the way.
Oh.
AB is now firing back with receipts, claiming that Dr. Prisk actually texted him about the TMZ media coverage of the fart incident and even bragged about TMZ crediting him as having a nose of steel. In AB's text messages, Prisk said the incident was funny as S, noting I was pretty stoic. So now Antonio says it's kind of shady that he's complaining about the incident and he's just doing it for more publicity. Mm. The $11,500 doesn't seem to be in dispute here, by the way. That seems to be money that is owed.
Yeah.
The controversy is whether over this fart thing, you know, who got offended by this.
We're doing this segment right now. This is on the radio.
This is what we do for a living.
I'm going to make you smell it.
Okay.
Damn.
I had to find that. A lot of contention and stress and controversy on the program today. I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with it.
Oh,
I mean, Jensen's over there being pro-fart, first of all.
I am pro-fart.
Pro-farting in public.
I'm pro-fart, pro-book.
And pro-book.
Yeah.
I don't even know you anymore. Mm-hmm. Next hour, we're going to get into the controversy that is ripping the nation apart on whether the Princess Bride is allowed to be remade or not. Mm-hmm. And right now, another controversy. HBO just started this one. They just forced this one on us. Here's what they tweeted. Top three HBO characters of all time. And go.
Which is a scary thing to do.
It is very scary. And HBO has had 30 years of amazing original shows.
Yeah.
And people started chiming in. Everybody from Omar Little from The Wire to Cersei Lannister from Game of Thrones, Tony Soprano from The Sopranos. And then there were all sorts of left field choices. Who's picking Cousin Greg from Succession? Yeah. That's what
I want to know. Good character, though. Good character.
Nora Durst from The Leftovers. Just so many shows. And so we started talking about it ourselves, and I don't think there's any way we're ever going to come to a consensus, but I am curious, and Jensen, why don't we start with you, okay. Since you're wrong man today.
I'm right man.
Let's find out how off base you are on your favorite HBO characters of all time. And by the way, let me just say, for the listeners who are playing along, there were a couple times I had to check myself before I wrote down, like, Dexter, for instance, you know, mm-hmm. or oh. someone from, you know, and then Showtime. I thought of, like, Californication. I mm-hmm. thought of a Nurse Jackie. I mean, there are a lot of great shows that we know were premium cable shows, not all on HBO. So HBO only, Jensen, you're up first.
Okay, now, as badly as I wanted to write down just three different taxi cab drivers from Taxi Cab Confessions, I have written down my three, starting with a recent character. I'm going to go three Barry.
Oh.
Okay, I know it's recent and we haven't seen a ton of him.
Only two seasons.
I
How
love
can you
it.
Say it's best all time?
Don't need it. I think it is one of the most complex, strange, odd, hilarious characters in HBO history.
Okay.
Two.
I think Barry would be in my top six.
Okay. Barry would be my top 10. But right. I mean, NoHo Hank would kind of beat out Barry.
Yeah. Sure. Well,
yeah.
I think Barry is the foundation in which NoHo Hank is built.
Yeah, but okay. Allie has serious steam and undies for guys with alopecia.
Right, we know that now. Two, Sopranos character Polly Walnuts.
Why huh. Polly?
I thought
over
he was,
Big Pussy?
Yes, over any of those guys. To me, Polly Walnuts was hilarious every single time. He was funny. He was part of all the major storylines. I think he, when I think of the show, it makes me laugh the most.
Polly Walnuts is a greater character
than Tony Soprano. Yes.
Wow.
I believe so.
Hot take Jones.
I believe so. Because I think, I think Tony Soprano is incredible. Maybe one of the most complex and interesting characters mm-hmm. in television history. But Polly Walnuts stole every scene he was in. You can't tell me that didn't happen. Every scene he was in, he stole. Him and little Stevie.
I'm going to say that they were both tremendous side players on mm-hmm. the show, but I could not take my eyes off of Tony Soprano.
All right.
I'm sorry.
All right.
He owned the screen.
Well,
let's
see what we think about my number one then.
Okay.
My number one is my favorite television show of all time.
Let me guess.
Yes.
Your number one.
Yeah.
Greatest HBO character of all time.
Yes.
Got to be Turtle.
It is not Turtle. It is not Turtle. As much as I like a backwards New York Knicks hat, I am going to go with 6 Feet Under's Nate Fisher.
I'm just saying, you only get one life. There's no God, no rules, no judgments, except for those you accept or create for yourself. And once it's over, it's over. Dreamless sleep forever and ever.
It was the most influential show for me as far as my writing. I watched it every week with my parents. I never missed one. And the greatest ending of all time in any show.
I will say it's one of the best series finales of all time, for sure.
He is now a firefighter in Los Angeles. Captain.
That's the actor. Yeah, the actor who plays a different role on a different show. Yeah,
it's not a doc or anything.
Okay. He was so great on Parenthood too. By the
he's
way,
he's the best in.
He's a great actor. He's
Sports
great in
Night, come
yeah.
on,
Sports Good Night,
come on.
I don't agree with you, but I respect your number one.
How dare you?
All right, Allie.
Okay. First of all, I didn't go any newer shows because then I would have had NoHo Hank. Or I would have had Kenny effing Powers.
That's also
from
Kenny
Eastbound.
Kenny Powers
down.
May have been my four.
Oh, I love him so much.
He was
very
in my top
much.
10 as well. Yeah.
And then you have Valerie Cherish from The Comeback. Are you kidding me?
Very
yep.
good.
But
great
I
character.
Didn't go with any of them.
Well, there's only room for three at the top.
Coming in at number three, I think she's one of the greatest comedic actresses, not only of our time, of all time. Miss mm-hmm. Julia Louis-Dreyfus yeah. on Veep. Selena Meyer.
There is no one who would disagree with that assessment. Although, curiously, Jensen hates women.
No, I just...
Because he did not put any women in his
not
top three.
True. He hates women.
Carmela Soprano would have been my number five.
Real bummer. But Polly Walnuts. coming in at number two... I was obsessed as a kid with late night TV. I thought I wanted to be the first woman of late night. It was just what I wanted to do.
You still could be, really.
I still could be, let's be honest. So this number two slot goes to Gary Shandling with Larry Sanders.
God damn you, Allie.
What?
Well, we have the same three, number three, and the same number two.
Oh, no,
at this point.
Really?
Yes, I had Larry Sanders at number two.
Oh,
also.
My gosh.
And it,
look
was
at us, Bean.
And it was tough to decide between Larry and...
Larry David?
No.
Oh, see, my two Larrys were getting up there.
Okay. No. Yeah, exactly. Hank Kingsley.
Hank,
yeah. Okay. Hank Kingsley would have been, if it weren't Larry Sanders, it was going to be Hank Kingsley.
Well, I will guarantee we don't have the same number one because none of you bastards watch this show. It is one of my all-time favorite shows, and it's my all-time favorite HBO character. And trust me, it was hard to find a clip of him not using the word seasucker, because he brought it back in a big way on Deadwood. It's Ian McShane as Al Swearengen.
Pain or damage don't end the world, or despair, or beatings. The world ends when you're dead. Until then, you got more punishment in store. Stand it like a man and give some back.
I got a Deadwood boner.
I never watched Deadwood.
Oh,
it was a good show.
So
I never saw it. It was too... Well, Allie, hold on a second. You're
going to say I don't like people being dirty. They were slightly dusty.
No, oh, come
they
on.
Still
they
took
were,
baths.
They were filthy. They had, like, oil all over
them.
They
took baths. They took showers. No. And I love a horror house.
I never saw... It looked like no one had ever taken a shower on that show whenever I would see a scene
incorrect,
from it.
Incorrect, sir.
By the way, Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer, his top three, Omar Little from The Wire
of
at number
course.
One. Al Swearengen from Deadwood at number two. And Lafayette Reynolds from True Blood at number three. True Blood, everybody, making an appearance in Dave's list. Kevin Bean listener Dude writes in, and apparently he's only had a TV for 1 year because he's got Barry from Barry at number one, Ursula from Los Espookies at number two.
Great character.
Although I'm a Tati fan, I would go Tati over Ursula on Los Espookies. And NoHo Hank from Barry number three.
So NoHo.
The guy has only watched television for 1 year.
Yeah.
Mine's going to be very anticlimactic. I did put Selena Myers at number three, Larry Sanders at number two. Tony Soprano is far and away the greatest HBO character of all time. And just outside my top three, by the way, who has not been mentioned, John Adams.
Oh, that's so Bean.
But it was maybe my favorite miniseries ever.
I mean, I'm gonna just keep it a bean.
Only he would take a historical figure.
John
Adams.
Okay,
I literally just Googled John Adams. I'm like, was he on Sex and the City? Like, no, John Adams.
President John Adams.
Get
played by Paul Giamatti.
He
was hardly a character.
Won an Emmy for it. It was a phenomenal character.
You suck. Oh, good job, nerd.
RJ Bell from pregame.com in Las Vegas joins us coming up right after the top of the hour. He was 3-0 week one of the NFL season, 2-1 last week. We'll find out what he has to say about this weekend's games coming up, plus your Black Keys tickets as well. First, Allie's here with what's happening on a Thursday.
Well, also next hour, we're going to go over some of the movies that we think should never be remade. Unless you're Bean, who thinks everything should be remade because nothing is sacred.
I just want to give things a new life.
I can defend that position because the originals do not cease to exist because new versions are made.
But kids nowadays need to watch something new because they're not smart enough to understand a classic.
And you know how hard an original idea is?
Look, I'm all for more original ideas. I'm telling you, it doesn't take away anything from the original Princess Bride movie if somebody makes a new one. And if it sucks, it sucks.
Well, this all happened because yesterday I did the story on Sony Entertainment CEO recently telling Variety that a very famous person or people, he said, have talked to him about wanting to redo Princess Bride. And I just quote tweeted it and wrote, no. And that got us talking about it. And someone has weighed in. You might remember him as Wesley in Princess Bride. It's Cary Elwes. You know what he said?
Yeah, I wonder what his opinion is about remaking a movie that made him famous.
He said, does the original not exist anymore?
Look. The original is 32 years old. How many 10-year-olds are going to go out there and seek a 32-year-old movie to look at?
How many 10-year-olds are seeking anything?
Yeah,
they should
playing
be playing
Fortnite,
on their bikes.
Bro.
That's my point.
And they're just doing that weird dance, the floss or whatever. That's all
they
do.
They're all backpack kidding.
Yeah.
And there, sure, there are going to be some households that are going to introduce their kids to that movie, as they should. There's millions of other households that won't. The kids will never even know the Princess Bride existed.
Okay, that's well, right. They're being...
A lot of teens are dropping their verbs.
They're being raised wrong, and I think maybe we start there.
I agree, okay. But because that's the reality of the situation we live in, why not take a great idea for a great movie and put it up on the screen so today's 10-year-olds can enjoy it just like you did?
Well, here's what Carrie said. There's a shortage of perfect movies in this world. It would be a pity to damage this one. See what he did. Jamie Lee Curtis also responded to the rumor saying, oh, really? Well, I married the six-fingered man, obviously why we have stayed together for 35 years. And there is only one The Princess Bride, and it's William Goldman and Rob Reiners.
See, that's high praise.
A six-fingered man joke, and that's why her marriage has lasted. I thought that was really funny.
I get people whose nostalgia makes them believe that their childhood is the only one that matters. I totally understand that. But that's doing a great disservice to the people who are not your age.
I mean, I think you just don't find things sacred because you're a very unholy man. That's why?
That's a hot take.
Okay.
I'm going to put on my jams.
All right. Well, the Breaking Bad sequel movie, El Camino, a Breaking Bad movie, is going to receive a limited theatrical release alongside its arrival on Netflix. The film will premiere on the streaming service on October 11th, while screenings will be held between October 11th and 13th in 68 different cities, including, of course, New York, LA, Chicago, the big ones. And then where the movie and the show were both filmed, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Why are they making a prequel, man? That's going to ruin the real Breaking Bad, it's man. We don't need it. No, Breaking Bad is sacred, man.
Number one, cool impression. Two, that's a new idea, an original idea based on an old idea. And just make new stuff.
It's not a prequel. It picks up right as
sequel.
The show
Why make
ends?
A sequel to Breaking Bad, okay, man? Okay. Breaking Bad was perfect the way it was. Why don't you just leave it there in the past?
Are you Cheech Marin?
What's that character?
I don't know who I am.
Where's Chong?
Okay.
I don't know who
All
I
right.
am.
Hey, man. What were you saying about Breaking Bad, dude?
I was born in East L.A.
I mean, man, that's cool and all, but, like, why won't they make original ideas, bro?
Oh, my gosh.
Very, very weird dialogue between
Dave's
two
not here, man.
What, dude?
Wow. Wow.
That was the worst Cheech and Chong ever.
Ever!
I agree.
Hey, man, stop ruining my high. I'm talking about Breaking Bad, man.
Oh, man. Well, El Camino, of course, will have Aaron Paul back as Jesse Pinkman, but creator Vince Gilligan said there's going to be over 10 different characters from the original series brought back, but he only named two of them in
Cheech
the interview.
And Chong.
Cheech and Chong. No. Both Badger and Skinny Pete are the ones that he mentioned to the Hollywood Reporter. So,
no Mike? Where's Mike?
I mean,
there's got to be a Cranston-esque cameo.
He's dead. Yeah. He's dead.
Well, I mean, spoiler alert. Flashbacks or whatever.
Oh, well, okay. That's a weird prequel, or sequel rather, but okay.
Yeah. Those have something, man.
Oh, yeah. Sequels never have flashbacks.
Hey,
all
man.
All of it.
Stop, man. I'm excited about this break. Now you guys are ruining my high. That's the only thing I know about Cheech and Chong.
Man, I work with some nerds. All right, some birthdays for you. James Lipton, Jeremy Irons, and Jimmy Fallon. And
21 Pilots on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Hey, way to go, Wes Blakely from Moreno Valley. You just won yourself two tickets to see Black Keys at the Wiltern tonight. You got more chances to win coming up, including less than an hour from right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's about my favorite time of the week. Every Thursday, just after 8, we talk to RJ Bell.
'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell.
RJ Bell is the founder of pregame.com, the exclusive odds provider for the Associated Press, and he hosts the daily show Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell on Fox Sports Radio. RJ, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Hello, hello. Big weekend coming up.
Yes, and I want to talk. I have one question for you that is, I'm going off script here for a minute, because I always love to get your analysis on how bettors react to news. So with Eli Manning being benched, potentially we have turnover at the quarterback position. It's a new era for the New York Giants against their Tampa Bay Buccaneers this weekend. Do bettors look at that and go, oh, I'm panicking now because they lost their star Super Bowl winning quarterback? Or are bettors excited and willing to give the new guy a chance? How do they react on news like that?
So first off, there's a script. I've never received it. So, okay. But what I'll say is that there's two minds. If it's a Giants fan, they're probably sick of Eli. The reality is Eli has not been good for a while. The case could be made, except, and this is the biggest caveat ever in NFL, except for two Super Bowl victories, Eli hasn't been a great quarterback. But two Super Bowl victories is enough.
That's significant. Did he win a couple Super Bowls?
He did.
Yeah. He won that one against the Patriots.
Two against the Patriots.
Two, sorry.
One ending their perfect season. Beat.
Exactly. Tyreek Hill, et cetera. The helmet catch, and then the famous Manningham catch on the sidelines.
Yeah, right. We remember.
Allie, I drew some of it. You want to check out the sketches?
I see it.
Okay. But in a way, those, you know, that second one was one of the great throws in Super Bowl history. So talk about a guy, Manning, that really, because of those two games, his whole career, his whole brand is different. Imagine like a Philip Rivers, probably better for the Chargers all these years, but hasn't had those big, big games. When it comes to this week, I would say it's about neutral. I think Eli is a slightly better quarterback still than the rookie, but the team probably gets excited that there's fresh blood. So I think for this week, it's about even Eli out and Daniel Jones, the rookie, in.
It's so interesting to hear you. I'm sorry to interrupt, James. It's so interesting to hear you say that, because the talk has already begun on whether Eli deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, because they say, just like you did, RJ, with the exception of those two incredible performances, he's kind of had a subpar career compared to most modern quarterbacks.
And actually, if you look at his one loss record, it's exactly 500. Half wins, half losses. They speculate that's one of the reasons they benched him now, not to have a losing career record.
Go ahead, Jensen.
Well, I have a question. My dad lived in Vegas for a while, and if I learned anything from him, it's to bet against your instincts and what everyone else is betting. And I know we haven't heard your picks yet, but with the Dolphins losing so terribly, those odds have to be out. The numbers have to be crazy.
They're winning the Super Bowl, according to your dad, then.
No. Do you bet on, basically take the points on the Dolphins at this point?
Okay, so first off, the idea of being contrarian is how any investment really is best. Think about stocks. Do you want to buy the hot stock? Mm-hmm. Think about houses. When did you want to buy real estate? Right before the crash or right after the crash, right? Mm-hmm. When everyone's fleeing, that's when you want to be buying. And it's probably a good segue, because one of my picks this week, and I'm going to call it, it's usually the big dog. Mm-hmm. We're going to call it the big dog. Oh. Jets plus 23. Against New England, and here's why. New England just covered a 20-plus point spread last week, and it made sense. Why? Because New England had lost in Miami 5 of the last 6 years. Belichick hates to lose. The coach for New England, he wanted revenge. Not to mention a lot of legal issues, civil court issues for Antonio Brown, the wide receiver for New England. Belichick wanted to make a statement. Oh, this distraction, not a distraction for us. This week, though, a second straight week being this big of a favor. And oh, by the way, Belichick in his career has been a favor of 20 points or more 5 times, 0-5 against the spread.
Oh. Whoa!
These teams don't care if they win by 30 or 14. They just want to win. By the way, the Jets, third-string quarterback, but their coach is a rookie, a new coach, and the New York local media is already getting restless. So I think they're going to play hard at minimum. First pick, big dog, Jets plus 23.
There you go.
Is that the big, I mean, what is the biggest you've ever seen, biggest margin that posted in Vegas?
So this is fascinating. Last 30 years, we have modern data on the point spread, and prior to this week, there were 5 games above 3 touchdowns, so 21.5 or more. Okay.
All right.
2 of them this week. So 5 in 30 years, 2 more this week. Mm. And the second one being the Dallas Cowboys with their biggest spread ever for them, They're favored by about 22 over that Miami Dolphins team, which is very bad. No pick on that game.
That's amazing. All right, so that's your big dog, Jets plus 23 over New England. Then we go to the best bet. You've got Pittsburgh and San Francisco. What say you, RJ?
By the way, this is what keeps me. I've been betting. I'm not 50 yet, right? I'm 40. Just turned 49. I've been betting for over 30 years. Yes, I started. Statute of limitations is up as a teenager. It's true. But this is what I'll say. I've never given this handicap here on Kevin and Bean. That's why it keeps me interested. Things happen sometimes only every couple years. I love the Steelers plus 6.5 against San Francisco. Now, Big Ben, their career best quarterback maybe ever, Terry Bradshaw's in the mix, just went down for the season unexpectedly. Why do I like Pittsburgh now? Because the team themselves made a trade in which they traded their first-round pick next year for a good defensive player. What does that tell me? The team is optimistic about this year, Pittsburgh. Why? Because why would you trade next year's pick, which is totally dictated by how well you do this year? Do you draft first? Do you draft 32nd? It's all about how good you are. Pittsburgh just told the world they are not pessimistic. They're optimistic. That's all I needed to hear. Pittsburgh plus 6.5 against San Fran.
And if I could just PS you, Rudolph, that's the backup, right?
Yes.
He looked fantastic coming in for Ben last week.
Yeah, a lot of short throws, and that happens to the guys that just come in.
But a lot of rhythm, though, man, and handled it like a pro.
Oh,
too.
I agree. Listen, Pittsburgh would not have given up that draft choice if they're not high on Rudolph.
All right, your big game, Baltimore, Kansas City. Jensen, I know this is a game you have a great deal of interest in as well.
I don't like football a ton, but boy, these are two heavyweights this season for sure.
Yeah, and Ravens, a lot of talk because their quarterback, Lamar Jackson, was a Heisman Trophy winner but not drafted till the end of the first round. A lot of people said, oh, running quarterbacks, can they succeed in the modern NFL? Here's why my pick is Baltimore, the underdog, plus 6.5. John Harbaugh, the coach for Baltimore, he's mighty good. I'm a Steelers fan. I don't like him because they're in division, but you got to respect them. And what he did was he spent the whole offseason schematically doing different things with that running quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Because of that, and because they played maybe the two worst teams in the NFL the first two games, Baltimore had some fairly easy games. First week against Miami, it was very easy. So what they were able to do is hide some of their offseason innovations. I think Baltimore has the schematic advantage because they've yet to show the truth of what they're going to do this year on offense because the first two games were easy. That edge is the key. Baltimore plus 6.5.
RJ has had nothing but winning seasons on the Kevin and Bean Show. And if you're keeping track this year, by the way, 3-0 the first week, 2-1 last week. So here are the picks again for this week. The big dog is Jets plus 23 over New England. The best bet is Pittsburgh plus 6.5 over San Francisco. Big game, Baltimore plus 6.5 over Kansas City. RJ has a great podcast called RJ Bell's Dream Preview with college football and NFL episodes every week. You can get that on iTunes. The daily radio show is called Straight Out of Vegas with RJ Bell on Fox Sports Radio. And of course, pregame.com is where you want to go for all the rest. RJ, have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you next Thursday, sir.
Thank you.
'Cause he's RJ Bell. RJ Bell. Yes, he's RJ Bell.
Is it over now? Is it over now?
I just want to make sure. Here's my thing, Allie. Yeah. I love you. You know that. I love you.
I appreciate that. Thank
and
you.
And I think that we're friends.
I believe we are.
But you're wrong about this Princess Bride thing, and here's why. I know a lot of people were outraged that Ghostbusters was being remade, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was remade.
Mm-hmm.
Some people liked it. Some people didn't. Some people decided to sit it out and not go see it, and it was fine.
It wasn't remade. It was rebooted. I think there's a difference.
Same
new characters and stuff.
Same characters.
It wasn't remade.
Essentially, it was a new Ghostbusters movie that a lot of people didn't want to have happen because they thought it would taint the beauty of previous Ghostbuster movies.
Oh, then they're redoing a whole Princess Bride, so it's like all new characters. The giant is really a small person.
Seven fingers instead of six.
Yeah.
they're talking about remaking it.
Then it's not a good argument. You're not doing this in good faith, Bean.
How about Halloween? How about last year's Halloween that was a complete remake of the original Halloween? It was a huge hit that horror fans thought was, as sacrilegious as it sounds, better than the original.
You know how many Halloween movies have been made? This isn't a one-time Princess Bride situation. They've made like 15 of those.
I'm saying Princess Bride doesn't go away if they remake it. I'm saying that a new generation can enjoy the Princess Bride. If you don't want to go see it, don't go see it. But why take the opportunity away from people who do?
Blah, 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 blah.
I'm with that guy.
Is that what you hear?
Here's the thing. I agree with you that it doesn't magically erase the original film. Like you can still buy it on Blu-ray, which I do in almost every movie's case. Just don't open them. But what I'm saying is I think that this world needs more original stories.
I agree with you.
We don't need to keep retreading stories that have already been told.
I agree with you. We need more original stories. I absolutely do. But occasionally something will come along, like A Star Is Born, that they will remake.
Which
and it
wasn't
will be,
even the first remake, so that couldn't have hurt anything.
But it'll be a great, and it ended up being a great movie.
Well, thank you for saying that.
I enjoyed it very much. If the non-remake people had come out against A Star Is Born, they would have looked like fools because it was a great movie.
It was fine. But yeah, let's just calm down. It was fine.
My point is, and for everybody who says, oh, they should just go back and watch the original, that's great. It's possible to do. Not a lot of people are necessarily going to make the effort to go seek out the DVD or find it on streaming or whatever.
Being, as an art fan yourself, are you not seeing that by remaking these movies, it's taking away the opportunity and budgets to make movies based on new stories?
I would love to see new stories made as well. You say you think we can't do both?
I don't think we can. I actually don't think we can. Because they're just now we're just getting into a world where it's superhero movies and sequels over and over again. And
original stories that come out like Blinded by the Light, for instance, that the critics love and nobody goes to see.
Right. I mean, those are minimal.
We've got a problem with our movie industry. We really do.
Gosh, I love movies.
All right. So beyond arguing The Princess Bride, Allie, you brought up yesterday, and this is what got us into the topic here, is everybody has their own movies that they forbid to be remade because they are too personal, they're too meaningful, it would be too painful to see another version of.
Yes.
What did you say yesterday that you're going to burn this mother down if it gets remade?
There are certain John Hughes movies that I love so very much. Pretty in Pink, it would devastate me. But I'll go even further back. A movie that came out before I was born. So your argument doesn't hold up that if there was a new one of these when I was a kid, I would have seen it. Because if anybody remade Harold and Maude, I wouldn't just burn this mother down. I would kill everything you loved.
All right. I'm going to say that Harold and Maude is the perfect of example of a movie that needs to be remade.
Oh, my God, Bean!
Because it is barely known.
Oh, my,
to the average, to
well,
the average moviegoer.
Well, that's why I don't hang out with average people.
To the average moviegoer, they have no idea what Harold and Maude is, and that's a great story that has the potential to reach a great audience.
Yeah, like imagine Susan Sarandon and Timothée Chalamet.
Okay, I hate everything about both of you.
I mean, that you just made a perfect example.
It's pretty good, pretty good casting.
Of a movie that needs to be remade. Let's do it. All right, so Pretty in Pink, no way, right?
No.
No way. All right, what's yours? That's the question we're asking. What's the movie? Maybe it's Princess Bride, but maybe it's something else that you think there is no way it should ever be remade. Mm-hmm. You're going to, I mean, you're not going to hurt anybody. You're going to be mad. You're going to be real, real mad if it gets remade, all right? What's that one that that needs to be boxed off in your childhood and no one else can ever touch?
You don't have one, Bean?
Well, there are a lot of movies that I think would be a terrible idea to remake, mm-hmm. but I would never campaign against it. I would never say, don't remake The Godfather, the greatest movie of all time.
I mean, perfectly fine.
It's a great movie. But if people do remake The Godfather and it sucks, it doesn't make any difference to me.
But I'm telling you, it takes away the idea of making new movies. That's the problem.
And I'm telling you, I don't care. I'm telling you, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a universe where lots of movies are being made.
Yeah, you're talking about what's sacrilegious?
I mean, exactly.
mine is kind of, I think, we asked on Instagram, and I think this was the one we got the most response on. 7-8 people said Back to the Future, which I think would be probably the most painful for my generation to see remade, because they'll make it terribly. And then Ryan Reynolds recently announced that he's remaking Clue, which would be mine that will be most painful. So when I see that, I'll probably freak out.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So that's Jensen's. That's Allie's. That's mine. What's yours? 1-800-520-1067. Sacrilegious is a great way to put it. This movie cannot be remade, and why? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. Hey, Bean, the good Omar writes in, I don't want anyone to ever be Batman again after Michael Keaton. That will destroy my childhood.
Bad news.
Oh, wait. All right. We're taking your calls on movies that should never, ever be remade. We say this because there's talk of a Princess Bride remake, and a lot of people are very upset about that. Nick has one. He's in San Bernardino. He joins us at first, line five. Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Hey, buddy. So, yeah, Goonies should never be remade. It's like trying to remake the Sistine Chapel.
I will tell you this. The Goonies will be remade at some point.
I think so, too.
Almost a guarantee. I agree with you. I don't think it should be remade, but that is prime picking. Using kids, Stranger Things, the whole thing. It's exactly the wheelhouse in which things are made.
I say never say die. No. It won't be.
I say, Nick, you're going to be fine because your Goonies and your childhood still exist. It's time to let some other kids have their Goonies.
They'll just be a way crappier.
They can watch my movie.
Yeah.
And they
won't be able to call him Chunk. He'll just be like, thyroid problem-y.
Exactly.
Kind of heavy, we call him.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Anthony.
Big bone.
Serena's going to have a perfect accent. He's going to be like, hey, guys, how's it going? Good to see you.
Line six, please, for Anthony. What's going on, man? Welcome to the show.
What's going on? Oh, we cannot remake The Breakfast Club. It just cannot be done anymore.
Agreed.
It just cannot.
I agree.
It cannot be done.
You're telling me that there aren't 8 great actors in that age range who couldn't be stuck in a high school on a Saturday and make a great movie?
Yeah,
I say there are.
Kids nowadays don't talk to each other. It'd be ridiculous. These kids don't talk to each other.
They'll just be in detention looking at their phones for an hour and a half.
Exactly.
All right, that's a good point. Maybe it would fall apart. Unless they take away the phones, it would fall apart. All right, let's go to Lewis, line three, please. Up next, Santa Ana on K-Rock. Hey, Lou, what's happening, man?
Hey, don't touch Short Circuit. If you guys try to remake this movie, I will hunt each one of you down.
You're a big Johnny Five guy, it appears.
He is alive.
I do like, though, they did make a Short Circuit 2, which isn't great.
Right, but it's not a remake. I'm just saying. They tried, and it was horrible, and nobody went to go watch it. And
What was kind of a Short Circuit remake and was very bad was Chappie.
Oh, Chappie, from like 5 years ago, right?
Yeah, that was no good, and that was kind of a new Johnny Five.
Who was the hot actress in Short Circuit, Elizabeth?
Ali Sheedy.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. From the 818, A League of Their Own cannot be remade. From the 949, never remake Forrest Gump. By the way, no one is ever
no one's
ever going to remake Forrest Gump. From the 951, can't remake Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, I agree.
It's a perfect movie, but one day with enough time passed, who knows? All right, let's try, let me see. Let's go to Joe La Cunada, up next, line two on K-Rock. Hey, Joe. What's going on?
You're going to love this. I hear they're making a remake of the 1977 classic Star Wars.
Oh, well.
I heard they're actually casting one of the Jonas Brothers as Luke Skywalker.
this is right up Bean's alley because it doesn't ruin any of our old movies. You've heard him say that, right, Joe?
George Lucas already raped your childhood, so there's nothing they can do to Star Wars. No, I take your point. That would be terrible. But you know what? It would suck, and we wouldn't have to go see it. If other people wanted to, who cares if they see a bad movie?
You don't think that it takes away from the legend the mystique of Star Wars if they redid episode 4?
This is a guy who owns the Christmas special, the Star Wars Christmas special. He doesn't care about legacy. He's walking out of K-Rock. He's leaving the name Bean behind. He doesn't care.
He's a communist.
Let me give you you're a cuck. Another example of a phenomenal movie that I'm sure it was considered heresy when they remade it, okay? Miracle on 34th Street. One of the greatest maybe the number two Christmas movie of all time.
Let's go ask Ruben what everyone thought.
He was around when the original came out. Remember the old original black and white from the 40s that we all grew up on? Classic movie. Well, they remade it in the 90s, and it was perfectly delightful with Elizabeth Perkins and Dylan McDermott and Richard Attenborough.
But it was nowhere near the
Santa
original.
Claus.
No one talks about that being the Christmas classic.
That's everybody today. That's their classic. That's the one that they watch on cable every year.
That doesn't make it right, Bean.
I'm telling you that two great versions of the same movie can exist. Just because one movie is great doesn't mean another movie can't be great.
It's so rare.
Is this thing on?
No, it's so rare it shouldn't be. Yeah. The rare instance where a reboot is as good as, I could think of, I only thought of one yesterday. Let the Right One In was a foreign movie, vampire movie, that was very, very good. And people were super mad when they were going to remake it. And the second one was real good.
But I think we've remade a lot of foreign horror movies for the American audience. I think that's been fairly common.
Things like Old Boy and those are terrible. They've been bad decisions to make.
All right, let me say this, and I know we're out of time. But it came out yesterday. Allie, you've been telling us a lot about the programming that's going to be on the new NBC streaming service, the Peacock, right?
Mm-hmm.
Came out yesterday that there are discussions underway to remake The Office.
Now, which is a third time.
Exactly. So for the people who are outraged because their Office with Michael Scott is perfect, let's remember that everybody said the same thing when that series was made because of the original by Ricky Gervais. If it's done by the right people, it can be great.
Very excited to get those 22-year-old Kevin and Beans in here come January. Very excited.
I am too. I hope they're back.
This day in history with Old Man Reuben.
It was today in 1960 that Chubby Checker hit number one with the twist and created a dance craze that's lived on for generations. I was hanging out with Chubb during those recording sessions, and man, did he go through a lot of dances before he landed on the twist. He tinkered with the juggle, the uncontrollable seizure, the my parents just got divorced shiver, the drunk uncle gets handsy at Easter, the see a girl you went to high school with at the bank and pretend you need to set your watch, the circumcision. But, to be honest, none of those were as catchy as the twist. Oh, it's also Jim Abbott's birthday. He had one arm, so his twist probably looked weird.
See, because Reuben is old.
He's old. Yeah. He's not young.
He knew Chubby Checker and remembered Jim Abbott.
I love Jim Abbott. Yeah. He was my favorite.
No hitter. Pitch a no hitter with one arm. We should be talking about that every day.
Yeah. No, that's amazing. I can only do the uncontrollable seizure. That's the only dance I got, by the way. Black Keys tickets coming up for you in 5 minutes for their show at the World Turn tonight. And then our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky. First, Allie, what's happening?
Well, we've talked about how different music that you're listening to while you're driving makes you drive differently. You
sure.
Listen to something that's like, yeah, you drive faster, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, researchers have found that drivers listening to songs with more than 120 beats per minute were more likely to drive erratically.
I feel like that's Kevin. I feel like he only listens to EDM and is a terrible driver.
He's also on Molly.
Yeah, that doesn't help. Worst case scenario, drivers listening to fast-paced music drove 10 miles per hour faster than those listening to gentle or no music. Would you like to hear the safest song that you should drive to because it's only 71 beats per minute?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Wait. We're playing two things at once. Stop. Okay.
Is this not the song?
No.
That's not the song.
What was happening was Omar was doing his job, and you thought you'd be funny.
Oh, I thought that was the song. It's not Baracko's Tacos.
Damn it. Play the song, Omar.
All right.
Now?
Omar.
In my thoughts, I have seen rings of smoke.
Yes. 71 beats per minute.
It is the safest. It picks up, though. It does.
But not a lot.
I can't believe it's not Baracko's Tacos.
I hate you so much right now.
You did ruin the segment.
I mean,
Justin.
Totally.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Would you like to hear the song that has 189 beats per minute? Okay, do you guys want to work this out? Which one of you is going to play something?
Ghost Tacos.
I swear to God, I'm going to murder him.
God, December can't get here fast enough.
Take me with you, Bean.
Baracko's Tacos.
All right, here's the song that is most dangerous to drive to because it has 189 beats per minute. Okay. Right?
We play that, don't we?
Yeah. And I hope people... Well, it's L.A. They can't drive fast.
Right.
Yeah. But the most fun song to drive to if you can, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you would be stoked if that came on the radio.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I mean, that segment could have been a lot.
A lot better.
We'll clean it up in post.
Yeah.
Jensen, why don't you take the rest of the day off?
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, now that's going to be bad because you are leaving early and people are really going to think that. Yeah. Bean really made Jensen leave.
Boy, Pete must have been, must have been so mad.
He was so angry, you guys. All right, and can we give a little bit of love to our boy Tom DeLong? Because years ago, he started talking about UFOs, and we're like, Tom DeLong's gone bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came in here, and I'm not going to lie, I was so enthralled and intrigued by everything he was saying.
And impressed, by the way, the seriousness in which he took it and the diligent research that he had done.
Loved it so very much. So we found out yesterday that the videos that he had released of what looked like UFOs being spotted by men up in Navy FA-18s were indeed UFOs, because the Navy came out yesterday and they're like, yeah, it was. So Tom DeLong, he released those videos and they're totally UFOs.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
I mean, kudos, Tom DeLong.
He's on to something, man. Yep,
he can help you get them aliens tomorrow. You think he'll be there?
I think he will. Although he did say on our air, we specifically asked him about that, and he recommended we not go to Area 51.
Because they will kill you.
Well, that's what that's what he was afraid of. But I said,
can't get them all.
Can't get them all. I think that's the slogan of the movie. Yeah.
You still sticking with that meme?
Can't get them all.
Okay.
Look, right. I want to see them aliens.
You do not.
I do.
You won't even leave your home.
I am going to be. I'm going to find my way through the gate, and I'm going to find my way into one of them warehouses, and I'm going to see them aliens.
Well, earlier you were going to bring a ladder. So what happened to the ladder?
He can't fit in the car. He figured that out. It doesn't fit.
It's heavy.
There's also no hotel within 200 miles of Area 51 available anymore either. So I think I'm going to be sleeping in the desert or in prison. We'll see.
And they remember they were going to have that stripper bus.
Oh, that's right.
So maybe
right.
You can contact them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't cool. fit right. the ladder in there.
They got a few ladders in there.
I'll check in with you from the road tomorrow, you guys.
No, the ladder didn't work.
Like,
didn't work out.
Nope. A ladder? Some birthdays for you. Happy birthday, James Lipton, Jeremy Irons, and Jimmy Fallon.
Lainey Naki is her name, from Los Angeles. She just won 2 tickets to see the Black Keys tonight at the Wiltern. By the way, you'd think that we would be done giving away these tickets because the show is tonight. Mm-hmm. Allie, put down your phone. I'm talking.
I don't have my phone.
All the way up until 3 p.m. this afternoon here on K-Rock. All the way up till 3 p.m. we're going to be giving them those. So you're going to get them and then almost immediately have to leave for the wheel turn.
So no, I just wasn't listening. No, I literally, my phone is over to the right of me. Are you okay, Bean? What's happening?
I'm fine. I think the camera froze. Hey, I'm sorry. That was on me. All right, hold on.
It's been a day.
It has this whole day. And we fired Jensen, too. Every week about this time, our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky interrupts his busy schedule impregnating teen moms on television.
Again,
come on.
He's never done that. He just hosted a reunion.
The issues. Dr. Drew, say hi to your dog, first of all. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you for saying hi to Rex.
Is it true that you are on your way to the White House in a few days?
Yeah, next week. I'm going to go meet with the Domestic Policy Committee, see if we can make their approach to homelessness rational. We've got their attention. Now we got to make sure they don't do too much.
I will say that you do, and I will say that you have been a leading voice on this issue in Southern California, and you have people who are doing the same in Northern California, and it looks like he got the president's attention. He was actually talking about it in California yesterday.
Oh, no, he's very serious about this. My fear is they're going to do too much too fast, and then what are we going to do? Because we really don't have the infrastructure to handle so many sick people all at once.
Right.
I realize the big problem here is I have people advocating for a group that don't know what mental illness is. And they don't understand what they're looking at and what they need and how they can be serviced and made well and what the risks are of not doing it. There's a bunch of ignorant people that really are now committing murder. We have 3 dying a day. And so if you are getting in the way of helping these people, you are committing murder, period, end. I'm just there with this.
No, I know you are, and I know it's something you're very passionate about, and I'm glad that you're there to make a difference. Speaking of mental illness, that's one of the. It's a great transition because the president has also said, and he's partly right on this, that the gun problem is partially a mental illness problem.
Yeah.
People who should not have, there are a lot of people people who shouldn't have guns because of what's going on inside their head. Now, the reason we wanted to have you on today to discuss was the story about Aaron Carter. Have you been following what's going on with him, Aaron Carter, the singer?
I've been following. It's very hard to make sense of it, so I'll do the best I can.
There's a lot going on. Apparently, and you might know something about this, his girlfriend called the police and said, please do a welfare check on him. I don't think he's right. I'm scared. He's got guns. Please come over. And they did. And I think the intent was to put him on a 5150 psychiatric hold when they got there. He did have weapons all over the house, but he was somehow able to convince the police officers that came to his home and a mental evaluator that he was not a danger to himself or others. What does it take? I guess this is the basic question. A lot of us hear the term 5150, and obviously we're familiar with it from the Britney Spears story from a few years ago. What is it? What do you have to show to get a 5150, and how is this not enough in the Aaron Carter case?
Okay, you're zeroing in on the other area of focus and concern that I have. It's called the Lanternman-Petras Short Act that was pushed through in the middle of the night in the mid-60s that took the criteria for treating people with severe mental illness from doctor says this person needs care to harm to self or other, and also gravely disabled, which is a very poorly applied status. Harm to self or other, you have to say, I'm going to kill somebody, I'm going to kill myself, and I have a plan to do it before legally they can do much of anything. Now, there are mental health professionals that will put themselves in harm's way, literally, legally in harm's way, by lowering that threshold and saying, hey, I just feel like this person's dangerous. But I have many patients dead because of this phenomenon. Mindy McCready was hospitalized on a 5150. They let her go home with guns because she said, I'm fine, I'm great, I'm feeling good. That's all they have to say. And if you document that, then you can't do very much. And it is a travesty. We must... There's a giant distance between need for care and harm to self or other. We need to fill in that gap a little bit with other considerations.
All right. Mindy McCree, she was the country singer, right?
Yes. I treated her at Celebrity Rehab. Helped her get into a – we had treated her.
Got it.
Helped her get into a – she had depression towards the end there. And, of course, they put her in, and then they let her go, which is just stunning to me. Let her go home knowing she had guns. It's just unbelievable.
All right, let me make it even worse on the Aaron Carter situation. So he talked to TMZ, said he was fine, went on the doctors. Usually when somebody's going on a TV show to say how great they're doing is not a good sign, I don't think. I feel like in his case, he should have been at home or with a doctor. He said he had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia. His brother, Nick Carter, says that he was requesting a restraining order against his brother because that he had told Nick in a FaceTime that he has thoughts of killing babies.
Yeah, that should be enough.
That should be enough.
And then, by the way, 72 hours, not nearly enough.
Yes,
and
he's still out there.
Further access to guns should be prevented. And so I who knows what he actually has, because he listed on that show a whole group of diagnoses that are mutually exclusive. You can't have all those for the most part.
Okay, that's interesting.
And when people do that, I just hear drug addiction. Because oftentimes when doctors don't know how to pick up on somebody using drugs, in the diagnostic manual, the psychiatric diagnostic manual, at the bottom of every page, it says in bold print, these diagnostic criteria do not apply if the patient is on drugs or withdrawing from drugs, because it can always look like a psychiatric illness when people are doing drugs.
So what would you do? I mean, you don't have the authority, but if you did, what would you do to somebody like Aaron Carter just based on I have thoughts of killing babies, based on saying he's got all these diagnoses and knowing that he's got a bunch of guns scattered around the house? What would you do?
He sounds like somebody that should be I don't know him, and I'm just guessing if you describe a case like this to me. I don't know Aaron Carter.
Uh-huh.
I would hope that that person spend at least a 14-day stay in the hospital and that the guns be removed for 6 months at least, until that person is stabilized, and then I would want sign off by multiple physicians that he is safe to have them, and then continued follow up that he's complying with care. And the second he doesn't comply with care, rescind the access to the firearms. It's pretty simple. We should do this in all areas. You shouldn't be allowed to go to school unless you have evidence of compliance. You shouldn't be allowed to work in dangerous environments unless evidence of compliance ongoing. And again, the kid from Parkland is perfect examples of this. When he was in treatment, he did fine. His mom dies, he unravels, there's no one to force him in treatment because all the LPS standards don't apply. He even when he says he's going to kill himself or kill somebody else, when you go ask him, he goes, oh no, I was just kidding. That's it. You can't do anything.
This is why Dr. Drew needs to go to Washington, you guys. Seriously. You need to drain the swamp, Dr. Drew.
Ugh, I'm so upset all the time.
I know.
Thank you for making it worse for me.
I'm not trying to. Allie, you're with me. We're applauding Dr. Drew.
I'm wondering why she's so silent. No, What's going on?
I do not understand how, and I had it happen in my own family, how somebody is so off the rails and you cannot get them to do a 5150.
It is the
most
insane
thing.
The reason we have homelessness. Because we have armies of families with money, with resources, with a room for this these people. They can't bring them back because of the laws. If we want to deal with homelessness, we got to give the families some ability to intervene on behalf of these people. You would do it if they had dementia. It's so bizarre
100%.
To me. One brain disease, you would do it. Other brain diseases, well, you can't touch those. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Amen. Dr. Drew's going to have a heart attack, man. I'm sorry to say. It sounds like it.
Please don't.
Not until you do your Monday through Friday, noon to 3 show on 790 KABC. We need you. Dr. Drew's podcast and live appearances are available on his website at drdrew.com. And don't forget, you can download the Heal app in the App Store or Google Play for a doctor to visit you in the comfort of your own home. Have a great week. Have fun in Washington. We'll talk to you when you get back. All right, 9:40, time for one final look at what's happening here on this Thursday morning. Kevin and Beach.
Oh, well, this is quite the story. The massage therapist who sued Kevin Spacey for sexual assault has died.
Whoa.
Yeah, lawyers for Spacey filed a, quote, notice of statement notifying plaintiff's death.
Am I the only one who anytime someone is involved in high-profile a legal case dies, I suspect there's foul play?
Oh, it's definitely the Clintons, right?
Yes.
They definitely got him.
Well, hashtag Hillary body count.
Right? Apparently, he passed away on September 11th. And the alleged victim who...
That's no coincidence.
I'm saying the whole thing is just crazy. The alleged victim who filed his suit as an anonymous John Doe had claimed that he was attacked by the American Beauty actor 3 years ago during a massage session in Malibu. So it could just go away, or the lawsuit could be continued by the therapist's estate in the wake of his death. So if, I guess, his family...
Yeah, that's not uncommon.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
I mean that's the case with Jeffrey Epstein. They're still going forward with the case, but you know, for his estate. Yeah,
another Clinton body count, right?
Absolutely, hell yeah! I don't even need any proof to say that.
No, geez, we're gonna get so many emails from people that think we're serious, and they're happy. We're on their team now. Spacey, of course, has been accused by more than a dozen men of sexual misconduct. So don't worry, there's gonna be other lawsuits. So we can see if they die.
Right.
Ooh, pumpkin.
I'm going to think twice before filing mine. I'll tell you that now that I know this is what happens.
It's true. Pumpkin spice, guys. I don't know your thoughts about pumpkin spice, Omar. How are you with pumpkin spice? You into it?
I can take it or leave it.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not one of those people like countdown to Starbucks pumpkin spice?
No.
Okay. I am not a fan of anything pumpkin spice except a candle. Like, I can smell a candle. That smells great during the fall. But other than that, I don't want to taste pumpkin. Mm-hmm. No.
It's sweaty pie, right?
Well, pumpkin pie, always. Thank you for bringing it up. We're about time for the season.
Yeah.
Why does it always have those beads of sweat in the middle of the goddamn pie?
Yeah, it's weird.
Oh, pumpkin pie is the grossest. And all of you that say it's your favorite and you can't wait, you're disgusting. It's mushy and sweaty.
I know it is the sweaty pie season. And I'll tell you, I'm fine with pecan pie, too. It's not like I'm pumpkin or die. Pecan pie is great, too.
Okay.
But I also enjoy a good pumpkin pie.
Right.
My policy on pumpkin spice coffee, by the way, is one a season. That's it. I like it. I'm excited for it. It tastes great.
Mm-hmm.
I only need one, though, to satisfy me for the next year. It's not like I'm going to go out there and buy it every single day while it's being served.
Well, Grubhub says one state orders more pumpkin foods than all the others. The food delivery service says that the most pumpkin spice flavored food orders are placed in October, followed by November, then it jumps to August, and then September, which is kind of weird. Hmm. We're talking about everything from pancakes, pumpkin pie milkshakes, pumpkin spice cheesecake, and then caramel apple is the next most ordered flavor in the fall months. But what state, I've only got the top three here, okay, but what state do you think orders the most pumpkin foods?
I think you know my answer is going to be Boston.
I would think, that's a state, a city in the state of Massachusetts, and I appreciate what you did.
That was a tribute to Kevin, R.I.P. Kevin.
R.I.P. I loved it.
All right, but seriously, though, pumpkins. That's very, you know what, this is a crazy guess based on absolutely nothing except that I think of Salem, Massachusetts for Halloween time, so I'm just going to take a stab on the map and say Massachusetts.
It is not Massachusetts, not in the top three.
Oh, okay, I give up then.
I found this interesting, but then I also thought, well, maybe these are just places that don't really have a real fall. Like, you don't think of the leaves changing so much in these states type of thing. So rule out New England. England's gone.
So you're, in other words, you're saying states like Arizona are kind of faking the funk because they have no season. So they kind of feel like it's fall if they have a pumpkin spice beverage.
Right. And I think two of the three, they have more of a fall than number one.
Okay. You're going to make us guess. You're going to...
Well, California is number one.
California, okay.
Yeah, which is weird, right? I don't know. And then Oregon came in number two.
Okay.
And then the great state of Washington up there.
So it's a West Coast phenomena.
Yes, which I found really interesting.
I hate to agree with you on anything.
Mm-hmm.
I do too.
Okay.
I find it interesting as well.
You hate to agree on that it's interesting.
Yes.
Oh, hey, just out of curiosity, just from hours ago with all that American Idol talk.
Yes.
You willing to admit anything or what?
Yeah. Apologize? What you said.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Sound it out.
God, I can't do it. I'm sorry, Alex. It's not like I didn't try.
Okay. Bean was wrong, and I was right that Carrie Underwood is the successful of all the American Idol alum. He said it was Kelly Clarkson, which I would assume she's number two, definitely.
She is.
But it's definitely Carrie Underwood. And you even said the words, "Don't at me, bitch," which I thought was aggressive.
I was. I was very steeped in that fact being true.
You really were. You weren't backing down. Even off air, you weren't backing down.
No, I was going to die on the Kelly Clarkson mountain. I really was. And obviously, she was enormously successful, but in recent years, Carrie Underwood apparently has overtaken her, so that's why I offer you this
Okay, I can't.
I can't either.
Oh, I get it, yeah. You guys like Stephen King movies?
Some of them, of course, are great. I mean, he's written some, I mean, Stand By Me, Shawshank Redemption, Green Mile. He's written a lot of great movies.
All right, I'm talking Halloween movies.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
More horror movies. You named everyone that's not on this list.
Okay,
because
sorry.
A Utah company is celebrating Halloween by offering a horror fan's dream job. You watch 13 movies based on Stephen King stories, and you document the experience. You're basically going to watch 13 movies, and then you're going to monitor your heart rate during scary scenes, write about your feelings during scary scenes, and put it all together.
So you're talking Pet Sematary.
I'm talking...
You're talking Carrie.
Here are the 13 movies that they chose, which is interesting because there's a caveat that you can watch the originals or some of the remakes, which I find interesting.
All right.
But here are the movies. Carrie. You've seen Carrie.
Of course.
The Dirty Pillows. I used to say that as a little kid. I'd be like, check out my dirty pillows. And people are like, you're eight. You're gross. Children of the Corn.
All right.
You've seen that?
I don't know that I have. I'm not as big a horror film guy as you are, so I don't know that I've seen that one.
Christine,
I've seen.
It's a car. It's not scary. That one's just dumb. Yeah. Creepshow.
All right.
Cujo.
Of course.
Wah, wah, wah.
Of course.
Dreamcatcher.
All right.
It.
Yes.
The Mist.
Yes.
Pet Sematary.
Yes.
Salem's Lot.
Wow, he's written a lot of horror movies.
The Shining.
Of course.
And Thinner.
No fire starter.
No.
Oh, that's surprising.
I don't think of that as a scary movie.
Really?
I look at it more as a goal.
How about Misery, by the way? It's not a horror movie, but it's a terrifying movie.
Yeah, I think it's more like psychological. These are, well, Shining's kind of psychological. I don't know. But you're going to be paid $1,300, but you're also going to get a flashlight, a blanket, popcorn, candy, and a Stephen King prize package. A flashlight! That is on the list of things you're going to get. What is wrong with this? But still, I'm into it, you guys.
Okay.
You with me?
I'm with you.
And speaking of the holidays, a lot of people get really mad about us talking about Christmas too soon. And by us, I mean Bean and I, mm-hmm. because we love Christmas.
We're year-round Christmasers.
But the studies keep coming out, you guys, that even though people seem to be disgusted at the sight of Christmas decorations before December 1st, it turns out that we're having the last laugh, you guys. Experts say people who decorate earlier are happier and more relaxed. If you start decorating for Christmas right after Halloween, you're driven by your nostalgia. And what does nostalgia do? It makes you happy thinking of all those great memories. You remember all the happy times you had. So when your house is surrounded by things that make you happy and think of a better time, you're a more delightful goddamn person.
That just makes nothing but total sense.
Thank you.
Total sense.
And I'll say this. All you people that, how are you going to decorate for Halloween in September? Because I'm being nice and I'm waiting. I'd like to do it in August.
And by the way, Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year.
I have heard
Why
that.
Why wouldn't you want more Christmas?
Amen. Amen.
That's Here's all you're thing. Doing if you're decorating early is you're getting more Christmas than other people.
My Halloween stuff is out. I will switch up a little bit of Thanksgiving stuff, you know, more after October 31st. But to have your house be, I had the best Halloweens growing up. To have it filled with stuff that makes you happy, why wouldn't you want people to be happy?
Agreed. Agreed. You know what you are?
What?
Not you. The listeners who are right now yelling at your radio for Russian Christmas.
Uh-huh.
You're a Scrooge.
Yeah,
you are. That's what you are. You're a Scrooge.
You're a Scrooge.
Right.
You're a loser, and I hope Hillary Clinton kills you.
Well, so eventually she's going to get
I
us
mean,
all.
She's killing everyone, right? All right. Some birthdays for you. Oh, that was the saddest, like, cutoff of Christmas music. Well, that hurt my heart.
I know. We were dead. I'm sorry.
Oh, James Lipton, Jeremy Irons, and Jimmy Fallon. And that's what's happening.
It is indeed. Thank you so much, Allie. Hold on. I got to find the Honda thing here.
You like Honda?
I do like Honda.
Me too.
All right. I think I do this part first and then I do Honda. Tomorrow on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, what is up with Florida? Also, you know, in honor of Alien Con, which is happening because I'm going to be broadcasting live from the Nevada desert.
Again, you're not leaving your house.
Going to see them aliens.
No, you're not.
Area 51. If the aliens were already here, would you want the government to tell us? Would you want to know? Or would it F you up? We also had a discussion earlier today about Thomas
Middleditch.
Ditch, yes, about his foray into the lifestyle with his wife, Molly. And we had some questions about how it used to be known as swingers. We had some questions about how that works. We have a guy who ran a swingers club for many years who's going to join us on the program to tell us some of the ins and outs of swinging. Also, keep it 100 because it's Friday. We'll introduce some new songs to the Kevin and Bean playlist for That's My Jam. And our old friend, Patrick Warburton, is going to be coming in. He and Allie have a very exciting live event coming up that we will tell you about. All of that tomorrow right here on K-Rock. Okay, now I do the thing, or I should have done it already?
I think you should have done it first.
I'm sorry. Uh-huh. Hey, on your drive home today,